Blog Talk Radio.
Apocalypse 1:14.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo es moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Black Wall Street, ball out. I buy all gear till I'm all out. Rep 12 tribes, that's what I'm about. Feast day, gotta work, wanna call out. Dance floor, yeah, I'm in a groove. Don't pay them haters no attention till I move. Celebrating, see me dancing on my shoes. To the old life, I'm chucking up the dudes. It's a new moon and I'm feeling great. Off on time and I'm never late. Got my brothers with me and they all straight. Good wine, good food on my dinner plate. Yeah, we just chillin', having fun. Sayonara, old world, cause you done. God got me shining like the sun. I ain't know we shining with the sun.
Move your feet in your sneakers. The music's sweet through the speakers. One man to a mama teacher. Celebrate, true believers. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them. Don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Don't stop, dance, we a dance. And I tell them don't stop, party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your
body. Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo.
Fate bring. We be so fly, think we got wings. Yeah, we call the shots, tell them we the king. I like the suspense, leave them guessing. Pay them losing no mind, why you stressing? Devil always trying, he be testing. But Father steady raining down the blessings. Shout out to the sisters with the woolly hair. Natural style, rock it anywhere. Fashion on lock, people gotta stare. You ain't usual, now you something rare. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. You know you styling, and you know you fly. Hands in the air, look, I'm real high. Praises to the Father, to the Most High.
We not stay still like ice in a freezer. Who not drink tequila, I sip margarita. Don't stay behind, get with the procedure. If you don't repent, then it's hasta la vista.
Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Move your feet till your muscles them don't suck. Party a dance, we a dance, don't stop. Dance, we a dance, and I tell them don't stop. Party a dance, we a dance. Dance, we a dance till you can't be your boss. Jesucristo is moreno. Jesucristo no es blanco. La prueba está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Jesucristo
Cristo.
Es moreno.
Jesucristo
Cristo. No es blanco.
La prueba
está en la Biblia.
Yo te tribo.
Baila mis hermanos.
Mi hermano.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Laws History Show. I am Captain Yahshua. Happy Sabbath.
Captain Aparium. Shalom. Happy Sabbath.
Hey, shalom. Happy Sabbath, Officer Amariah.
Shalom. So does Zacchaeus.
So, a lot going on. It was almost too hard to pick one single thing to kind of discuss on today's show just for the nature of things that are going on in the world. I mean, there's so much. It's almost like... you know, you rely on the media for a lot of this stuff. And we know here in America, we live in a bubble when it comes to that. They selectively put different things out. It's been one of those weeks, week and a half, where you have to kind of really search the news, because they're going to put in the forefront what, you know, what they want to put. But there's just so much going on that other things don't get enough attention. The big thing, obviously, are the storms that are happening. You know, we had Hurricane Harvey. We did a show on that during the week with Officer Amariah. But now they're saying that you got these three storms in the Atlantic at the same time, and that it's unprecedented in modern history is what the scientists are saying. Like, it's like a time that they've never seen since storms have been recorded. I mean, now we know there's been worse things. You have like the flood. You got to imagine what that was like. It wasn't just like rain was falling and it was sunny, right? You know, like that had to be like what they call a category 5. It had to be like that and more.
Mm-hmm. 40 days.
Yeah.
40
yeah. You
constant
know,
rain.
Right. Right. You know, so, but my point is, it's not like you go, you know, some, you know, you get them shower heads that got like a lot of sprinkles on it. It wasn't like a rain shower head and the water came down and it just filled up. You know, it was torrential, you know, it was the Lord visiting the earth with fury. Let me get that real quick in Nahum. All right. I mean, because you got to imagine, like, I don't know. I think sometimes some people think the flood and they don't realize like there was lightning. I mean, to have that amount of rain for it to be a flood.
To wipe out the whole land.
Right.
It was no landmass.
Right.
Remember, because he sent out the dove.
Right.
Right. And he never came back.
Right. Because they talk about storm surge now.
Right.
And you look at what happened in Houston and how the waters filled. And, you know, I mean, you see videos. I mean, we had people out there that all praises to the Most High. Goes to show you how the Lord is merciful. For as many people as were affected, man, and Houston's a big congregation for us.
Mm-hmm.
There was only one family that suffered. That, first of all praises to the Most High, there was no loss of life amongst any of our congregants.
Congregation was untouched.
The school was untouched. And there was one couple that was with us that they lost their car in their apartment.
And they were taken care of.
And we took care of them because collectively we came together to help them out.
As one nation.
So it goes to show you that I mean, judgment is going to come to who judgment comes. I mean, but the Lord stayed them, because if God is for us, who could be against us? Right. So read this really quick.
The book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 6. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can?
No, I wanted 3.
Oh, verse 3.
Yeah.
The Lord is slow to anger.
Right. So. You got to understand, for as sore as his judgments come upon us, right? Like, you know, people, I always go to the one where people talk about, oh, but, you know, killing, you know, babies that die in tragic ways and things like that. You know, that's the devil. No, I mean, the scripture tells you life and death is in the hand of the Lord, you know. So, that's the Lord that called that. But he's slow because he allows a lot of things to happen until he can't take it no more. And he's like, you know what, I got to shake things up. This is what happened in the time of Noah. We, like, you know, it's like you gotta realize that it wasn't this nice sunny day and it was just a lot of rain. You know, like sometimes out here in Arizona it rains and like the sun is still shining, you know, and it's like
right.
You know, it's not always this thunder and lightning. So, but to flood the whole earth, like you want to talk about storm surge, they're talking about 10-foot storm surge is devastating. Like it's destructive. The waters had to rise to a level to cover all the landmass. So you got to imagine that this was like what was it, the day after tomorrow, like the supercell storm that like formed.
Right.
All right. That's the kind of thing that was going on. So it says the Lord normally is slow, but when it comes, he comes with fury. Read it again.
The Lord is slow to anger.
Go ahead.
And great in power.
And he's great in power. Because with great power, right, like from Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Huh. With great power, people who truly understand that have sat in seats of authority, you're talking about the creator, power that we can't fathom, all right? I mean, just think creation. I mean, that you got to wrap your head around that. You got to stop and, like, meditate on that for a little while, all right? Creation, that type of power, you have to be slow to anger. Because if not, you'd be like a child with a machine gun.
Right.
You know, and just because, you know, kids get angry for any little thing, man, they'll just start shooting everything up. So the Lord is that great of a power without anybody having to tell him. This is how, you know, order comes from him, that, hey, with all this power, I got to be slow to anger, because if not, I can just really blow up everything that I freaking did,
right.
You know,
and the his power is so strong. That's why when when he was speaking with Moses, he said, all you're going to see is my back.
Right.
You can't even look at
right.
me, bro. That's
bro,
how powerful my
his power was so strong that just his presence made Moses' face shine.
Yeah.
And his face was so glowing for being in his presence that he had to wear a veil when he dealt with the people.
Man, he has so much power. That's why these people out here that say they have the true name, bro, we would die if we knew his name.
We can't. In the forms that we are in now, you cannot utter his true name.
You can't do it.
You cannot.
You can poof.
Right.
Because we know there's power in names,
poof.
Right? That's why, like with my son, my wife wasn't too thrilled with the way the names sound. And, like, her argument, see, this is how you know women are the weak vessel, right? And I like to pick the names based on the meaning, not on how they sound.
Right.
Right. That's how that's how I chose my Hebrew name based on the meaning. All right. It means God saves. And because that it meant something to me, and there's power in the name.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for my son. All right. His name means reward of God or recompense of God. Right. Revenge of God. Reward of God. And to me, I was like, man, you know, I had wanted a son for a long time. For this child, I prayed and the Lord rewarded me. So for me, I wanted that to be his name. I didn't want a nice, pretty sounding name. You know, I mean, it was just. So she don't like that because in Spanish, like, it's hard to say it in Spanish.
I don't see why. It sounds the same way.
I don't know, man. It's women, bro. Women. Simple stuff. But there's power in a name. So going back to the Lord, if you knew the Lord's true name and Christ's true name, bro, you would, like, your eyes would melt. Your tongue would melt in your mouth. You wouldn't even be able to begin to utter it. You'll utter the first syllable.
Right.
And you would waste away.
Negroes are so disrespectful. They would put it on chains and they would graffiti it on things.
Hey, that's why, like, in Deuteronomy 4, we talked about I didn't come to you in any similitude or anything like that, because if I did, you would worship it. So you're right. If we really had the real name, and guess what? There are Negroes who take the name that they think is the real name.
And you know what?
And they have it on chains and they wear it on rings.
Real quick.
They wear the star of Malak.
You got the evil ones that believe that you don't got to keep laws, and they tattoo it on their body talking about, I got the power. Yo, what's like Constantine? I put the name of the Messiah on one wrist, of the Most High on the other. And when I bring them together, no power for him against me.
just real quick too, for those listening. The message is meant for the natives, Latins, and blacks, all right, so-called, who are the Israelites. That's why we keep saying the word Negro, all right, just to clear up for anyone that may be talking
right, in. Right, because you might have somebody that comes in.
Oh, my goodness, he said the word Negro.
And get all sensitive. And actually, Negro is actually just, I mean, it's not as derogatory as saying the other one,
right?
Which, out of respect on the airwaves, we avoid, all right? But, I mean... It don't really mean there's no power in that unless you let there be power in that sort of thing.
And in fairness, the Bible does mention.
Right. Well, it's funny because people get all uppity about being called a Negro or I'll say a spick or, you know, or any of the other derogatory terms, but they'll walk around saying I'm Johnson and Gonzalez and not be upset about that.
Right.
Don't make no sense. Anyway, let's go back to the scripture. Go ahead, read.
The book of Nahum, chapter 1:3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked.
So he won't acquit the wicked. All right. He's going to make sure that he passes judgment in some form or another. You're going to get it. You might not get it today. You might not get it tomorrow. You might not even get it in this life. But he's going to get you. All right. Go ahead.
The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind.
He have his way in the whirlwind. So he's telling you, like, he's slow to anger. So sometimes he's like, you know what? I got to catch up. There's a lot of judgment that got to be passed.
Right.
I need to wipe out a swath of people. Right. All right. Or I need. And listen, and it's not always death. It might be what? I need to take some things from you to humble you.
Yep.
You did this, so this is your measure of judgment. And what more perfect way? Because sometimes a storm kills you. Sometimes it makes you broke. Sometimes it injures you.
Right.
Sometimes it makes you lose someone else. So it's a way for him to pass a mass judgment on many levels.
Sometimes it's just there to scare you, to make it, to be like, yo, you know what?
Hey,
this is God,
yes,
man.
And that's another level of judgment as well. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to get some fear in you, right? It's like when our father used to come with the belt and he would snap it like this and he goes, you smell that? You better check yourself or else you're going to get it, right? Mm-hmm. And he would snap the belt. It would be like, damn, that was a big post office belt. All right,
Garrison.
The Garrison belt. Go ahead, read on.
The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet.
And the clouds are the dust of his feet. So you have that great storm. You see these satellite images. They showed them from the space station. Mm-hmm. And they're saying that's dust to him.
Hey,
that's like when you walk outside, right? And especially here in Arizona, it's like dusty out there, right? And like you kick up a little bit of dust. that's the equivalent of the as mighty as these storms that are doing damage are. It's that is like a little dust to him.
The last satellite radar I seen when it was covering all, it's gonna cover all of Florida from east to west coast.
Cuba,
not even Andrew
Cuba,
was that big.
Yeah, I know. Cuba got all of it. I'm looking at the image, man. Cuba got all of it.
And it just nipped it.
Hey, the most high. No. It looks like the eye went right over the center. Like Havana got a little.
Did it go over the center? I saw it on the edge.
Well, but it's so big that it's still over Cuba, but like the ends of it are already causing waves and surge in Florida. Yeah. Bro, but that's like dust to him, it says. It's like dust to him. Read the whole verse again.
The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet.
And the clouds are the dust of his feet.
You know what's heavy about that? It says he will not at all acquit the wicked. You're going to get it. Be mean.
Right.
Be evil.
Yeah.
Thinking you get away with it. You are going to get it. The scripture just, I mean, there's plenty of scriptures that say that he's slow to wrath. Okay. That because a sentence doesn't come speedily. You think you
got
it.
That's the one. That's the one. Let's get that really quick. Yep. Let's get that. Because that's what that means when he says he'll not at all acquit it. Like I was just saying now, you might not get it today. You might not get it tomorrow. You might not even get it in this life. All right? But you're going to get it.
You're going to get it, man.
Don't forget that one in Sirach 39 for later. Okay?
Got it.
You got the one in Ecclesiastes?
Yes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Yeah, so that's why we continue on in the ways we do. That's why it doesn't really make me marvel when people don't want to repent. I do marvel when people have partaken and tasted of the gift of the true gospel.
That's a marvel.
And they go to sin. That to this day makes me marvel. But as far as those who are in deep, gross darkness, it doesn't make me marvel. Like, I get it. It's a spiritual thing, so not everybody's gonna see it. Like when you come at to peace with the turn with understanding that it's God who poured the spirit of deep sleep, then you're at peace seeing those who are not gonna repent because you understand that it's only Him that's gonna wake them up, you know. And it took me a long time to come to terms with that. Like it's one of those things where it's like, but how can you not like see it? You know, it's like I show you this wall and the wall's white, and I'm telling you it's white, and you're like, nah, it's blue. And it's like, you know, okay, like I can't get any more clearer than that. Mm-hmm. That's just blindness. Like there's no other way that you could describe something like that, you know? So go back to where you were in Nahum.
Nahum, chapter 1, verse 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked.
And he will not at all acquit the wicked, all right? So you're going to get it. You're going to get the judgment. Read on.
The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. And the clouds are the dust of his feet.
And the clouds are the dust of his feet. Call in numbers 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. Captain A, man, you usually have a lot to say about these days. Talk to me about the storm a little bit.
Well, hey, listen. They're saying, and you know what? And they're probably understating it, man. All right. But when Esau says that they've never seen anything like this, okay, or at least in like 100 years or something like that, man, that speaks volumes. That definitely speaks volumes, you know. But elaborating on what you started out with, Cap, all right, let's go to Matthew 24, all right, because at the end of the day, when Christ was walking the earth, he was, you know, letting the disciples know and letting the Israelites know of what was going to happen at some point, okay, in time. All right, when he was going to return. All right, so let's start at 3.
The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?
So now it says the end of the world there. I know a lot of people say, oh, well, the world's going to be destroyed. No. Just those of you who have been saying the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, whatever terminology you were taught is the name of that prayer. And the actual prayer itself, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. So, no, the world that it's talking about there is not the actual earth. Okay. It's talking about when is the world of rulership from Esau, the Caucasian, when is that going to end? Okay, and when are we going to go back into power? That's why it says that they went to him privately and asked him.
Right. Get 2 Ezra 6 and 9 so we can prove that the world is not – it's talking about a change of rulership is what it's – it's not talking about, oh, the planet's not going to be here.
And then after that, can I get a precept?
Yeah, of course you can, bro.
This is the book of 2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world. And Jacob is the beginning of it that follows.
So to your point that you're saying right there, Cap, it's right. It's not that the planet Earth is going to go away. Mm-hmm. It's that what's overspread on this Earth and the wickedness, which is embodied foremost and chiefly by Esau, okay, is going to go away and be utterly destroyed. And there's going to be a new era and a new kingdom, a new renaissance that will be spoken about forever. Right. And that's the return of the Israelites. That's right. Like when you read in Acts 1. Get that for me really quick. Is it 7 or 6? All right.
Esau, who the world ignorantly calls Caucasian, white, and
We can't forget that.
Why would they be asking the end of the world? There's not going to be no world here. Why would it matter?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They were asking, like, think about that, right? When am I going to die and explode and never come back again?
Right.
I mean, think about
good
that.
Good point. Read that. Go ahead.
The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. When they four were come together, they asked of him, saying.
They asked of Christ. Go ahead.
Saying, Lord. Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
Everybody forgets that part.
Right.
First of all, there's two words there that are trigger words. Restore.
Again.
Which means again, mm-hmm. right? Restore. And then he says again. Mm-hmm. Will you restore again the kingdom?
To who?
Go ahead, read it.
To Israel.
To Israel. The kingdom belongs to Israel.
So stop right there. Because because now check this out. So for all you Christians that feel that everybody is going to be saved and that everything's going to be you, Esau, Caucasians in rulership again, because that's really what the underlying tone is,
mm-hmm.
okay, that just proves to you even more so. That right there, you could close the Bible and be like, wait a minute. So right. I got nothing in this because everything's going to be Israel. Okay, and ain't the ones that are in our land now, in a portion of our land, because that's not even the whole land of Israel according to the scriptures when you delve into it and read it, but it's gonna be a nation of people. Who's that nation of people? Blacks, Hispanics, and Native American, who are the Israelites.
Right.
Because again, just real quick, because I was pondering on this week and it just came to my mind. Right. Just came to my mind. Okay. The Bible is a history book. We've been saying that for years. That's what we've been teaching. Okay. It's a history book, not only the history book of the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans. Yeah, we know that. We've proven that. I'm going to put that aside for now. But it's a history book of everything that has happened on this earth from the beginning to the end. Okay. Let me prove it. Every single major empire is in this Bible.
Right.
Is in this Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. With the exception of one. And it should raise a red flag as to why that one, which was the most significant one for a particular nation, was literally taken out of most Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
And I say most Bibles because the King James Version Bible, 1611, it's in there. Okay? The Bible always had 80 books. All right? 14 were taken out. And that kingdom is the Greek Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that? Remember, they call him, Caucasians call him Alexander the Great. Okay, but we know through history that he was an Edomite, a Caucasian, and he's the one, he was great. Why? Because when he came back into rulership, the Caucasians stayed in rulership all the way until 193 AD.
Mm-hmm.
And then Septimius Severus, an Israelite man, okay, which the movie Gladiator is loosely based on, went ahead and overthrew the Romans, and then we ruled, when I say we, blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, during the Byzantine Empire from 193 AD to 1453 AD. Which was Renaissance called the rebirth. So this is a history book, okay? But primarily, in other words, they call it the good book. A lot of Caucasians like to call it the good book. The Edomites like to call it the good book. This is an actual documentation of everything that happened on the earth, okay? It is a significant, significant part of history in this Bible. That's why this Bible, it can't be erased. It won't, first and foremost, because the Most High won't allow it, but if you erase this, if you eradicate this, you're erasing history. Because everything is in here that happened from beginning to end. Okay? And the problem is that now it's being brought to light that it's our history, blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans. Mm-hmm. So the power has come even more into light
of this book because it's an awakening of a nation. Yes, we're in here, and I bring this up because I never forget when Captain Yahshua first told me that Puerto Ricans were in the Bible. I was like, I ain't never seen the word Puerto Rican in the Bible. And he said, that's because that's not our real name. And that's when the whole journey in this path.
It's a paradigm shift, bro.
It was
like, wait a
hell of a paradigm shift.
What do you mean? I'm a Puerto Rican.
Right.
But we never gave much thought into realizing we didn't pick that name for ourselves.
I'm not black. I'm OJ.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So you got to ask yourself, you blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, okay, where do I fit in this book? That's why I preface everything with that. This is a history book of everything that has taken place on the earth. So where are you in this book? You have to be somewhere in this book. So where are you? Who are you? Okay, who is the Caucasians? Who are the Japanese? Who are the Chinese? They're in here. Mm-hmm. They're in here. And the captain brought it at the beginning. The earth was destroyed by the flood. And only 8 people survived. And from there is where the people that are walking the earth today populated from.
And to prove that we all come from this book, that there's that each nation today, it comes from the book, is the proof that so-called Arabics know they come from Ishmael. Mm-hmm.
Arabics know they come from Ishmael. The East Indians
know they come
from Elam.
Right.
The Japanese and the Chinese know they're Moab and Ammon. Okay?
Esau, no, the Caucasians.
The Caucasians know, no, but they
Esau.
Cannot let that be revealed.
Right.
Okay? Let me tell you how we know that they know. Because why is what we teach so controversial?
Right.
Because we just read it. The captain just brought out the scripture.
We know because
Esau is
the
end
is
of
wrong.
The world. Right. Mm-hmm. Esau is the end of the world, and Jacob is the beginning that follows. Mm-hmm. So they know. And just one last thing, okay? These storms have happened in the past, in biblical times, mm-hmm. these disasters. And guess what? All those other nations, they always gave props to the Most High God. They always knew. You see it in the Bible. Your God, the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. Cyrus said it. He said, the God of Israel allowed me to rule. So they know and always knew there was a God. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is why in the Tower of Babel, okay, not to get deep on that, they've said, let us make a name for ourselves.
Right.
They didn't have a God. They already knew that the lineage of Seth through Adam, okay, was the sons of God and that they were the sons of man. Mm-hmm. See, that's a little deep. You got to go into the butter on that one, man. You got to get into the nooks and cranny on that thing, man, because at the end of the day, that right there is a whole paradigm shift right there in and of itself. That right there tells you the beginning of the hatred that the other nations have always had for us,
right,
and where Psalms 83 comes in.
Wait, hold on real quick. Let me get this precept real fast. This is to piggyback off 2 Ezra 6 about how Esau is the end of the world. This is Hebrews 1, verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So that worlds is
the
plural.
Worlds, plural. The worlds.
So there's multiple worlds, and the world that's currently on its downfall is Esau's world, all
right?
Who right. The world ignorantly calls Caucasian.
Yeah, right. Who the world ignorantly calls Caucasian and white man. Hey, you got some people that they'll take that and they mean like, you know, the big head, big eye aliens.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. Which is let me tell you,
hey,
man.
Listen, maybe there are some things like that
maybe.
Out there, but that's
maybe.
Not what that's talking about.
Right. The grays.
World is simply a common class of people with a particular goal.
And let's prove that one more time. Give me Isaiah 45:17.
Bring it out.
Okay. Let's prove that one more time. We go all over the place in the Bible, but let's just hit the headbangers right here.
Say with your chest, too.
Okay. With the chest out.
Put some bass in it.
With the chest out.
Man, I'm telling you, I love the scripture. This is one of those scriptures I hear it every time. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
I know, man. They killed that one in Spanish, though.
They sure did.
It don't say the same thing.
It takes explaining.
Yeah.
Because siglo can mean world, but siglo also means like century. It's just weird.
Siglos means forever.
Yeah.
But it's
like, just weird.
Doesn't mean world without end. Yeah. World without end is different.
Yeah, it don't have the same oomph. Mm.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 17. Chapter 45, 17.
I don't hear the chest.
No chest?
Yeah, I don't see the chest. Yeah. Bring it out.
There we go.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord.
No, everybody.
But Israel shall be saved in the Lord.
Go ahead.
With an everlasting salvation.
So we're going to have an everlasting salvation. Once Christ returns to save us, it's a wrap. That's it. We're in rulership. Ain't nobody going to defeat us. We're never going to go back again into slaves or be destroyed. Go ahead.
Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded.
We are not going to be ashamed. Should not be ashamed nor confounded in the conditions that we are today, how people feel about us today. Why?
World without
because
end.
We are going to be a world without end. So that smashes John 3:16 right there. So God so loved the world. What world? The world of Israel.
People understand that when Christ was on the scene, he wasn't teaching the book of John, Luke, and Matthew, so on and so forth. He taught the Old Testament. So when Christ quotes John 3:16, he's quoting Isaiah 45,
verse
17.
You know what? And you know what? And that's not even brought out enough. That's a very, very, very point you just brought out.
What?
Also, because
you get John 3:16, and then I'll get Isaiah 45, and we'll read it together.
Yeah, well, you're getting it. But yeah, definitely. That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful because the officer brought out a great point, and we've brought it out many times. When Christ was walking the earth, the New Testament was not written. Wake up, stop being ignorant. So if it wasn't written, what was he teaching? You could not go ahead and he wasn't speaking about himself. He didn't write about himself. The New Testament wasn't written until approximately 70 years after Christ died.
Christ wasn't a Christian.
Okay, exactly. So wake up. Go ahead, bring it out.
The book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
This is the book of Isaiah 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded. World without end.
World without end. So Christ was just letting the Israelites, you so-called blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, reminding them that Isaiah prophesied that we were going to be one day a world without end, and that salvation was only for us, which proves that the New Testament, what Christ was preaching, salvation only to Israel. Let's get the proof. Give me Luke. Okay.
And then after you get that, I got a precept.
Okay.
Too.
Get me Luke, who salvation is for. Okay. Again, more proof. This is Christ saying it again.
The book of Luke, chapter 1.
Just get straight to the point.
Verse 68. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Of everyone.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Of every single nation walking the earth.
Be the Lord God of Israel.
Go ahead.
For he hath visited and redeemed his people.
His people, the word his is a possessive pronoun. Okay. If I say that guy over there with those with that blue shirt, those are his shoes. Or that's his bag. His people. Go ahead.
And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David.
Okay, go ahead.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us.
Okay, there we go. We, again, possessive pronoun again, all right? That is the gospel. That's the good news.
Right.
That when Christ returns, we're going to be saved. Okay, and yes, some of the other nations are gonna end up being there with us too. They're just gonna have a different role. Okay, everything's gonna be like the scripture says, Isaiah 29. Surely you're turning the things upside down. Shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. Everything's gonna be turned back to the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Our Psalms 82 says everything is out of its course right now. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 14 says the trees are gonna rejoice when Esau, the Caucasian man, is not in rulership anymore.
Right. So we just read John 3:16, right? And we proved that Christ was quoting the Old Testament because, like we said, Christ didn't come teach the book of John and the book of Luke, so on and so forth. But this is Isaiah 30 and verse 8. It says, now go, write it before them and note it in a book that it shall be for the time to come forever and ever. So when Isaiah 45 verse 17 says that Israel is the world without end, it came once again and Christ had to reiterate it in the book of John 3:16. Man, I'm telling you this, precept upon precept.
Bro, it's heavy. We got to prove all things. You made a bold statement, which is correct. Give me Isaiah 14 and 1, on 1 and 2, because you said the other nations will have a place. And it's going to be what? For them to serve us. But we're going to show you, scripturally, that's exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm. And in the New Testament it says it.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob.
Read on.
And will yet choose Israel.
That means despite everything, despite all the stuff that's going to go on, he says he will yet choose Israel because you got another doctrine out there that talks about, well, he turned from the Jews because the Jews killed him. The Jews persecuted him.
Stop.
All right. Yeah, stop with your nonsense. Read on.
and set them in their own land.
In their own land. Okay, so it says the Lord is going to set them in their own land. That's another thing that shows you that the people that are over there today are not our people. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And the strangers shall be joined with them.
Oh, let's close the book. The strangers will be joined with them.
Right.
No, read on.
And they shall cleave to the house of Jacob.
Everybody would love to stop right there. Christianity at large would love to stop right there. Read the next verse.
And the people shall take
them. The people shall take those strangers, those other nations, take them, go ahead,
and bring them to their place.
These are possessive type of words. These are saying he will take them and bring them to their place. People are still thinking Christ is love. Oh, we're going to take them and say, come, come, you can have my seat. You can sleep in my bed. Go ahead, read.
And the house of Israel shall possess them.
Shall possess them. Shall possess them. Shall possess them. Means own them. Go ahead.
In the land of the Lord.
For what? To be equals?
For servants and handmaids.
Not equals. To for servants and handmaids. But wait, in case you were confused and you think I'm making up where it says take them and bring them to their place means that they're going to be sitting in coaches and cars with us and they're going to be guests in our house. And we're going to say, no, here, you know, you sleep in my bed. Read.
And they shall take them captive.
They shall take them captives. Captives. See, the Lord knew what these times would be like and that we would have simple people that said, no, he's going to take my. Because he's saying the same thing, just in different ways in the same two verses. Read.
Whose captives they were.
He will take them captives whose captives they were. That means every nation that ever had us as captives, we will take them captives. Go ahead.
And they shall rule over their oppressors.
There it is. I can't drop this mic because it's suspended.
No.
It's suspended on a thing.
No,
I can't drop
no, the mic. Now we could close the book.
Right. Now we could close the book. I know. That's why I wanted to do the mic drop, but this won't drop. Here, let me. Boom.
Boom. Listen.
Okay. Anybody with any type of sense reading that. Okay, in its context, right? We're not taking it out of context, right? You don't even got to break that down. I mean, we could break that down. We got mad precepts, right. But you don't even got to break that down because possession, oppressors, captives. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but based on what the rapture is supposed to be according to Christianity, with rapture's not in the book, that means that they're just gonna walk hand in hand, arm in arm. I want to have a Coke and a smile. I like what's that word? That song, man. I like to have a Coke to drink. To be in harmony. Remember that? Everybody go to holding hands across America. No. Take means that they're not going to want to come. So I'm taking you.
You think Donald Trump's going to go into slavery just easily?
No.
Listen here. See here, guys. No. There's no way someone like that is.
That's not how the most. You see, here's what y'all don't understand. Give me Exodus 15 and 3. Is that the one I want?
Yeah,
okay. Y'all don't understand. The Lord. Again, like the captain brought out, man, y'all still thinking of that hippie-looking, blonde, blue-eyed, okay, soft-looking, real humble. Go ahead.
Book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 3. The Lord is a man of war.
Ooh, man. The Lord that you so-called Christians and that you other nations, when you worship in Christianity on Sundays, okay, pray down to, okay, it says he's not only a man, which means he's not a puff of smoke, okay? When you read Daniel 7, it says that he has a garment. He has a throne. Well, you got a throne if you're just smoke. You need to sit down. That's why you got a throne, because you're a man. It says he's a what?
The Lord is a man of war.
He's a man of war. When you read Job, man, Job called him the king of terrors. Mm. Okay, so going back to these hurricanes, all right, give me Deuteronomy 32:39. You have to understand, these are the weapons that the Most High uses, okay, to go ahead and lay out his war plans, all right?
These are his instruments.
His instruments, okay, that he uses to let the world know, hey, yeah, I'm here. I'm a man of war, okay? Go ahead.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal.
again, that's another one that's self-explanatory. The Most High God says, I'm the one.
Yep.
So you wondering, the captain brought out earlier, why the baby that never did anything, supposedly, right? And I say supposedly because when you understand regeneration, no, that baby did something. Oh, guess what? When you understand Acts, John 9 and 2, you understand that you, parents, could have done something. Maybe in this life, maybe in your previous, and this is how you're going to pay.
Hey,
now.
That's a just God, man, because you might most parents, they would be selfless, right? And they would say, hey, I'll take it upon myself. Just don't harm my kids.
Right.
But he'll judge your kids for your iniquities to get at you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that John 9 tells you, man.
Yeah, man.
That's heavy, man. You know, I'm telling you, that's why, I mean, we've been going, last week we started going over Fear the Lord here in the Phoenix congregation. I'm going to finish that up today. And Lord's will, we get a little deeper in that, but yo, how could you not fear the Lord, man, when you understand what he's really about? Well, I'll tell you how you cannot fear him. When you think he's love. And you think that's all he is. Because he is love. He is love. He's love. He's fear. He's hate. We're made in his image. So every emotion that we experience and that we have, he has them.
He's jealous.
He's jealous. Okay? He hates. He has indignation.
Yeah, right. Righteous indignation.
No one understands how much the Most High is love than those of us that are taking this walk and repenting in Christ.
Right.
No one can understand how much he is love. But people like to say that he's just love, omitting the fact that we just read earlier that he flooded the whole earth and killed everybody.
It's just love. What just love. What they're saying is everybody could be saved.
Hey, Isaiah 14:1-2, that's love.
That's
a father's love, bro.
And
guess what?
Yes.
The bully's been messing with you for too long.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm coming to lay judgment on that. Go ahead.
What did Malcolm X say? The rooster's coming home to roost.
This is 2 Thessalonians 1:6. Saying it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you.
It's a righteous thing with God to revenge for you, Israel. You blacks, Hispanics, you Native Americans,
right.
You Mexicans, you Cubans, you Puerto Ricans,
Dominicans,
Argentinians, Haitians, Colombians,
Chileans.
Haitians, Chileans, the scattered. Who are calling yourself tribal names in parts of Africa and the world over?
Y'all in Guyana, Belize, the Antilles, Saint Martin, Barbuda.
Right.
That's the sand of the stars. That's the sand of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's the innumerable that we're supposed to be. That's another reason you know it's not those fake Amalekites. Cause there ain't that many of them. And they try.
That's why you see them, man. They try to have a lot then they go on welfare.
They try
and then they are the number one users of welfare.
Then they get charged with racketeering. Hey, here's another form of love. Isaiah 29:6. Since we're dealing with the storms and earthquakes and everything that's going on, here's another form of love.
Bring it up.
This is love. Love.
The book of Isaiah 29:6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts.
Hold on. So that's love, that he's going to visit us. But how is he visiting us? Go ahead.
With thunder.
With thunder.
And with earthquake.
And with earthquake.
And great noise.
Go ahead.
With storm and tempest.
Go ahead.
And the flame of devouring fire.
Hey, that's the other thing they did from the space station. They showed all the wildfires that are burning in the West right now. All this stuff is going on at the same time.
That's unprecedented. We haven't even mentioned the fire.
I was just up in Seattle, right? And the officer picks me up and we're driving. And I said, so is this like a normal day for you guys? Because it's just overcast, right?
Uh-huh.
And he says, what do you mean? I'm like, to have overcast like this. He says, no, this is not overcast. I'm like, what is this, sunny for you guys or what? He says, no, this is smoke from all the fires. So we get out in downtown Seattle to go get something to eat. And there's ashes falling from the sky.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Yo, and this is the stuff that I'm saying. Like, it's not really reported. Like, but this is the stuff that's going on. Yo, all at the same time. This is
crazy.
Unprecedented.
Oh,
crazy.
But we in the midst of all of this, and I say midst because that's the hurricane's taking precedence right now.
Mm-hmm.
You still got Syria being bombed.
Yep.
Right, and you still got Korea conflict.
Yeah, North Korea talking about that they got something for us.
This week they got a gift.
They're gonna send something. They're gonna send a gift.
They're supposed to launch something this weekend.
They got a gift. They're gonna send something over. Hey, that's the epitome of a kid with toys, with powerful toys.
You want to know something though? Because you know I'm following that story. He ain't stupid, that kid. He's seen what happened to Gaddafi when he gave up his nuclear weapons.
That's true.
And he's seen what happened to Saddam Hussein.
That's true.
You see, America wants him power, because China already got him, right? They want to overtake. Now, if they can get a foothold there, okay, now they could get those resources there. See, he knows from history. You think before his father died, he didn't tell him that? You right. think it was just one of those things? They didn't want their regime.
Hey, that was probably his dying wish. Get a nuclear program.
Get a nuclear program quick, because look what happened to Gaddafi.
At all costs.
And look what happened to Saddam. Mm-hmm. Okay? Look what happened, man. Remember, those of you who know, Gaddafi got rid of the nuclear weapons. Saddam Hussein got rid of them, never got them. And what? The minute you did that, they did that, they went ahead and went in. And
hey, you know what it is, man? Because they ain't got nothing to really lose, bro. He said, the hell with your sanctions. He goes, give us more. I'll send you a gift. They ain't got nothing to lose. Because like most of the rest of the world, they got all these interests. They had their hands in each other's pockets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the nuclear deterrent. They don't care. They're like, yo, we'll throw it. And if you throw one back, okay. they don't care. Yo, they don't care.
They can't risk that. But honestly, right now, and again, it's not to say that they can't pull the trigger. America can't pull the trigger. But it's a stalemate really right now.
Right.
All right.
Well,
right now, he's showing who got the bigger cojones.
Because
right
that's
now.
The thing with nukes, right? They launch one, then we launch a few, and then what? You know what I'm saying? It's like it's that's what I'm saying. He knows that that's his way for leverage and for him to kind of enter the world market.
Yep.
You know, so it's what it is, man. You know, people think like the is gonna pop off from there though. You know, the scripture tells us where all this stuff is going to start coming from. But mm-hmm. the nukes are that fire. The nukes are that fire that's going to be coming in those last days. Listen, just because all these things are going on right now, the scripture tells you the end's not yet. It's just going to be turbulent times. And it says that there has to be times that as from the world existed that they've never seen. Where is that in Matthew? Get me that.
No, that's the second Ezra.
Is it second Ezra? Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
You know which one I'm talking about, right?
That 11? Second Ezra 11?
Give me one second.
I think it says time of trouble, right? It says something along the lines of...
Yeah, as the world have never seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really thought it was in Matthew. I could be mistaken.
Oh no, I'm thinking of the one where he talks about how sin will increase.
Ah, okay. That's something different. That's something different. I'm gonna look for it. You'll talk.
Oh, Daniel 12?
I don't think that's it. Hey, we got talk about something else. I'll look for it.
Yeah. Well anyway, so while he's looking for that, you know what? Get me Psalm 68 and 20 so we can continue on that same vein of everything's of the Most High. When people die, when you die, all right? That's the Most High's decision all the time, okay? All right?
The book of Psalms, chapter 68, verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death.
All right, so anybody that dies, that's when the Most High decided it was your time to go. Okay, a baby just being born dies, that's of the Most High. The issues of death of the Most High God. All right, y'all got it?
Yeah, I got it. This is Matthew 24:21.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time ever shall be.
All right, so this is just the beginnings of these things, but it's telling you there, Christ said, you know the end is real close when you have those things, like it says that not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor there ever shall be.
What?
So because the new kingdom that gets set up, there's not going to be a need for any type of things like that. That's why we're telling you, you know, the title of the show when we're talking about the Lord have his way. How he's in the storm and everything like that. In the kingdom of heaven, that's not going to be necessary.
And that's right. A good point.
Because guess what? We're going to be the instruments that he uses to execute judgment for anybody who doesn't cleave unto us as captives.
Right. And you're right, because in the Garden of Eden, right, it didn't even rain.
Right. It was dew that came up upon us. Right.
So you didn't have hurricanes back then.
Right. Right. So
because things were in its right form. Things were right.
Yep.
Right.
And read verse 22.
Verse 22.
And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
That's how bad it's going to be. You think it's bad now. He's saying it's going to be so bad. He says that if those days would not be shortened, then everybody would be wiped out. Mm-hmm. That's how crazy it's going to be, that everybody would be wiped out. But he said, but listen, for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Give me Isaiah 45 and 4 so we can make sure the elect are, because everybody wants to say, oh, that means Joel Osteen and the like.
Yeah, the one that didn't want to open up his church.
He said,
they're gonna say
the church has always been open.
Yeah, you saw him.
It's always been open,
oh,
but
man.
We wanted them to exhaust every other resource first.
Well, you talk about a word smooth as butter type dude, like the scripture says in Psalms, man.
That dude is
man.
The devil the Bible speaks of straight up. I can't stand Joel Osteen. And he blocked me on Facebook.
Wow, you were antagonizing him?
Well, I mean, this is when you first come in with all this
right,
deal. You try
right.
to cut everybody. So I hit him and a couple other people.
Go ahead, read that so we know who the elect are.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect.
And Israel, mine elect. So it's saying the days, it's going to be bad, but it ain't going to be so bad that he's going to wipe out the whole earth, all right? There's this whole thing, these destruction movies where they show you, oh, the world's going to end.
Asteroid's going to hit the earth.
Yeah.
Right. Nibiru,
Nibiru,
whatever the hell.
Yeah.
It's going to crash with the earth.
It's a planet
oh,
that's going to crash to the earth.
Stop. I'm being ignorant.
You know? I mean, come on, man. yeah, that's the Lord having his way.
That's what they wish it would be.
They wish it would be.
That's what they wish, that, right. that there was no God and the earth would be destroyed and then that's it.
No, but it's not going to happen. You're going to have to pay.
Exactly. Because it's a righteous thing to recompense those that trouble you.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, I glorify that thing knowing that I serve a power that says, you know what? It's okay. I got you. You had to do what you had to do, and so I had to do what I had to do. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to send my son, and he, don't worry. I got you. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, we're living in biblical times, man. We got to. You know, Mossad is giving us a chance to repent, man. You blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans, man. Y'all got to repent. And we realize, according to the scripture, that only a third is going to be saved. Only 33% of all the blacks, Hispanic, Native Americans that live on the earth. Notice I said the earth, okay, because we're scattered throughout the four corners, is going to be saved.
He compares the people being saved to a drop from a wave.
A drop from a wave. From a wave.
Damn.
From a wave.
Hey, so let's not forget, we keep talking about the hurricane. Mexico's strongest earthquake in a century leaves dozens dead.
Yeah, forgot about that, too. Wow, okay. Man. I mean, just so much. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes.
I hate when you're just advertising. At least 61 people have died after the most powerful earthquake to hit Mexico in a century struck off the southern coast. The magnitude 8.1 quake, and I think the Richter scale is 10.
And that was the largest they've ever had.
I think they're saying, like, if an 8.1 would have hit California, like, California wouldn't be there no more.
Right.
Like we would be the new coast. Arizona would be the new coast.
Wow.
Which felt as far as Mexico City and Guatemala City was registered off Mexico's southern coast, just as heavy rains from Hurricane Katia lashed the east. The epicenter was in the Pacific Ocean, some 600 miles southeast of the capital and 75 miles off the coast. President Enrique Peña Nieto said the temblor, felt by about 50 million people across the country, was the strongest earthquake Mexico has experienced in 100 years. In September 1985, a magnitude 8.0 earthquake killed an estimated 9,500 people in and around Mexico City. So that one was in there. So that's what I'm telling you. The Lord have his way. He could have put this thing right on the land, the epicenter on the land, but he did this thing a little out to the ocean. And even with that, it still caused damage. Can you, bro, 9,500 people is a lot of people to die, bro. And that's what they counted, you know? I mean, you don't know, like, they get these numbers and it's
no,
like.
No, what? Check this out. See. I mean, obviously, they can't see these pictures, but you can. See these pictures right here? This was the earthquake that I was in. That was a 6.7.
Oh, that was the big one.
This is what caused us to move to Phoenix.
That was the one driven in Oakland,
they
right? It was, though. Yeah. No. This
parents,
was in California.
Your parents.
Yeah, Oakland. Wasn't that the one in
yeah.
Oakland?
No. This was in.
During the World Series, wasn't it?
No, that was in 89. This was in 94. This caused $50 billion worth of damage. And 8,700 people were hurt, 57 died, and this was a 6.7 magnitude. That was an 8.1 right there.
Bro, that's wild. And you got to consider that these are places that are maybe not as developed. It's like down in the heart of Mexico. It was further away from Mexico City, which I've never been, but I hear is like a pretty big metropolis.
That's my apartment.
But that's wild. They are two of the most impoverished areas in Mexico and were likely hit the hardest. So it says many people were asleep. So Chiapas and Oaxaca, home of about 9 million people, are located close to the earthquake epicenter. At least 45 people were killed in Oaxaca State. Civil Protection National Coordinator Luis Felipe Puente said on Twitter, 10 others died in Chiapas State and 3 were killed in Tabasco, he said, Tabasco. Hold on. Latest updates. A red alert was issued by the U.S. Geological Survey, which predicts economic and human loss after earthquakes. High casualties and extensive damage are probable, and the disaster is likely widespread. Past red alerts have required a national or international response. Thing is, since it's Mexico, nobody gives a shit, so they're not really reporting the full extent of what's going on there. The USGS reported multiple aftershocks, including at least 6 with tremors measuring above 5. Bro, so you had a 6.4. These aftershocks were 5s.
It's crazy.
Above 5s. The quake had a depth of 69.7 kilometers, 43 miles, according to the USGS, which makes it particularly shallow. That means more intense shaking because right. It wasn't deep in the ground. It was more on the surface. A tsunami was confirmed in Mexico with one wave coming in at 3 feet, according to a tweet from the National Weather Service. Tsunami waves taller than 10 feet could hit the coast of Mexico, while 3-foot waves could reach as far as Ecuador and New Zealand. Yo, a 10-foot wave is no joke. A 3-foot wave, like, looks crazy. A 10-foot wave is no joke.
Right. And remember, it's all coming at once. It's just like
yeah,
a
right.
wall.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just like it's coming at the angle.
Right. Right. Yeah. They're talking about the height, not the width. It's miles and miles and miles wide. A 10-foot wave.
Hey, Cap, not to mention that, remember, the water goes all the recedes, goes all the way out.
Well, that's when you know it's coming.
And then it just comes in.
And then it comes back in a big rush.
As a wall.
That's like this, right? I'm here. Right. The water comes back, and now it comes back like stronger, right? So it pulls back and forth. It's like literally like shaking in a bottle. That's the Lord having his way. That is the Lord having his way. Mexico's Army, Marines, and Federal Police were mobilized to respond. About 1.85 million homes lost electricity, but 74% of them had service return. Toppled buildings could be seen on video shared on social media from the city of Juhitan in Oaxaca State, where local councilwoman said co-workers were trapped in a municipal building. A hospital there collapsed. 4 people may be trapped. They got to have more deaths than that, man. They're underreporting, bro. That thing is too crazy.
You know how the Most High says that in your affliction you will seek me early? Let me tell you how much the Most High is jacking up Northern Kingdom right now and so-called Mexicans.
Big time, bro.
He said, man, not only am I going to remove DACA and deport you guys, but y'all ain't got nothing to even go back to.
That's the other thing. So hold on. Let me see.
Man, I'm telling you.
Up here.
You so-called Hispanics, all right, those that subscribe to me and Mexicans and Puerto Ricans, any kind of Latin background, you are the Israelites the Bible speaks of. And it's been well documented the things that the Southern Kingdom went through in slavery, all right, these so-called blacks. But you went through these same atrocities as well before the blacks even did. But it's been hidden from you guys because they don't want us to know that we're the same people.
Officer, there's more books written.
There's way more proof that Northern Kingdom is Israel.
So that's the other thing that happened this week on Tuesday, DACA, the repealing of DACA.
Right.
So you have everything else going on. So it's like stuff like what did I say in the beginning of the show?
There's so much
going on right. That the media goes with the most sensational stuff. So here's an analyst that wrote a column. He says Trump tasked the GOP with solving immigration, the issue that divides it most. So just to be clear, DACA was an executive order. It wasn't a law that was put out. It was lawful because it was under the president's authority to put out an executive order. Congress never acted in all this time to make it an act or put it on the books. So which is why it was so easy for the president to just repeal it. President
right.
Trump just repealed it. And he said, hey, I'll give you 6 months so that you can fix it. So he's staying any action on the repeal by giving them 6 months to come up with something, right? So it says Trump tasked GOP with solving immigration, the issue that divides it the most. So 10 years ago, Senator John McCain fell fast and hard from his perch as the overwhelming frontrunner for the Republican presidential nomination. It happened for one reason. He supported comprehensive immigration reform. So everybody talks about immigration reform, but when they use the term comprehensive, they mean actually looking at a way to keep some of these people here. Right.
Right.
Listen, I agree, you know, to an extent, as much as it means anything to me. I always say that because at the end of the day, it's all of the Lord, whatever happens. I wouldn't want criminals in my borders. Like, Israel had laws on the books for things like that, that you would have to put people out and stone them and things like that. So if you come in there and you're not even from here and, you know, you're not being productive, you know, get the hell out, right?
Right.
So that's something that makes sense, right? You don't want people overburdening your economy and things like that. But they don't want comprehensive reform. Everybody's just talking about build the wall, kick them out. Yo, the kids walked out of the high school. I'm reading the comments, and people are like, yo, pass a net over them and take them all to. You know how many of those kids are probably actual citizens? Let's show you the ignorance and the hate that these other nations have. So it says the Arizona Center not only backed the path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants in 2007, but also helped write an ill-fated bipartisan Senate bill. I was covering McCain's presidential campaign at the time. Remember his political aides warning him that supporting what powerful GOP primary voters regarded as amnesty would likely hurt him. That was an understatement. They hate us. They want us to go out. All right. Give me Lamentations 5:1. All right. I think of that every time I hear that. McCain dropped so low that in some polls he was an asterisk, the symbol that appears when support is too small to even measure.
Wow.
Off of that one issue. He climbed back up to eventually become the 2008 GOP nominee because of his grit and determination, and also because there was just nobody else that was more appealing.
Right.
No.
And also because he abandoned any talk of citizenship for undocumented immigrants, so he let it go. Mm-hmm. Well, so it's like they penalized him. Hey, that's how Trump got elected. He said, hey, I'm going to push the hot buttons.
He let it go, and then they start focusing on the fact that he was a POW.
Right, right, and they focused on that. So read Lamentations 5 or what?
That's a number?
Yeah. Hold on before I get into that. Call-in number is 516-531-9797, 516-531-9797. Go ahead.
The Book of Lamentations, chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us.
This is the thing most of our people have just forgot, man, because I don't know, man. It's like we get bamboozled by the American dream. We start to think that this is our rest. You had these kids here that they were here under the DACA, and they're talking about, you know, oh, I went, I got degrees and this and that. And listen, I don't disagree with anything that they're saying. But in your watching, you're watching for a nation that cannot help you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just like it says in Lamentations 4:17. And so I don't feel any remorse for you because the revolution is repentance. I'm not saying don't do good for yourself. And, you know, remember, the scripture tells us, you know, build ye houses, leave an inheritance. That means we should be getting ourselves, I don't want to say comfortable, but you should be getting yourself settled. All right. Because if you say comfortable, then you might not be pushing to do the work of the Lord. All right. But you have to return to repentance. So read it again from the top.
Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us.
We have to remember, and that's a prayer that we should give. Remember, O Lord, what's come upon our people. Go ahead.
Consider and behold our reproach.
Consider and behold our reproach. Go ahead.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Go ahead.
Our houses to aliens.
So read it from the top one more time again.
Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us.
And so what is this what's come upon us? Read.
Consider and behold our reproach.
Consider and behold our reproach. What has come upon us is what? That once upon a time, this land, because it affects more than just Mexicans, but that's really the hot button, right?
Mm-hmm.
This, because they're saying they're coming in from Mexico. They're coming in from Mexico. This land was all our people's land. It was Gad. It was Issachar, right? Gad being the so-called Native Americans.
Reuben.
Reuben, all right, the Seminole Indians. Issachar, the so-called Mexicans. This was once your land, and it's not anymore, to the point where you have no power, and they're telling you go back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yo, it's like I go into your house, bro. I walk in, I kick you out, and I'm like, you know, you could stay here for a little while. And then one day I'm like, you get the hell out. And you got no power. You can't do nothing because you let me in there to begin with. All right. Or I bogarted my way in. I just freaking bumped in there. It's just, I mean, there's so many ways that I could look at different analogies. But, you know, this was yours. They kicked you out. They overthrew you. And then now they're telling you get out. All right. That's why it says our inheritance is turned to strangers. It says they were the strangers. Read on. Mm-hmm.
Our inheritance is turned to strangers. Our houses to aliens.
Our houses to aliens. They call us illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Illegal aliens. Yeah, by the laws of the Constitution of this country, it's illegal, but aliens. They're calling you foreign. They're calling you aliens. This was your land. This was your homeland. You originated, not really. The Bible says you originated, you know, in Israel, but this was yours before they got here, is the point that I'm trying to make. So if you want to get right. Mankind never dwelt here.
Right, there you go.
When you got here, according to the scriptures, there was no other people here that you kicked out.
Right, it was yours. That's because the Most difference. High gave it to you.
It was yours because the Most High ordained it for you to have it. And it says they're here saying, hey, you get out. And it's so bad, and it's such a hot button thing, that even if they try to set something up, because everybody's saying, then become a citizen. They're trying to put laws. McCain was trying to pass a law to set it up for them to become citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, hell to the no. They said, hell to the no. But is that it on that?
But it's easy for Japanese to come and get it and start businesses, and Arabs and
bro,
every other nation.
Crazy.
Every
it's
other
crazy.
Nation could come here and be successful.
It's crazy. Is that it on that?
We can go more.
Go ahead.
We are orphans and fatherless. Our mothers are as widows. We have drunken our water for money.
Well, that's going into different stuff, like when you deal with how they came in and how we lost the inheritance, all right? So it's talking about what? They came here, and if we wanted any of our own resources, we had to mine gold for them. We had to build things for them. We served in captivity for them. Basically, we would harvest a field, and we couldn't take anything from our own field unless we brought service to them first. So let me go back to this article. It says, I remember attending more than one McCain town hall from New Hampshire to South Carolina, where he got an earful from angry Republican voters as he tried to convince them that he learned his lesson. Border security is what they want. That was a decade ago, but today immigration is still splitting the GOP just as much, which will become more evident in the next several months as the Republican-controlled Congress grapples with how to deal with an estimated population of 800,000 immigrants whose future in the U.S. is now uncertain. DACA dividing lines. This week, as we saw protests about President Donald Trump's decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, which gave legal status to undocumented immigrants brought to America by their parents, Trump called on Congress to act. And on the right, among core conservatives who helped elect Trump, the outrage is aimed at the president asking Congress to write legislation giving what they consider amnesty to undocumented immigrants. So they just wanted him to repeal it, send everybody back. It don't matter that people have been here. They were born, they were like here since they were five. None of them know a damn thing about Mexico. They're right. as American could be. Some of them probably don't even speak Spanish.
Some of them own businesses.
Some of them own businesses. They're productive citizens, which is all the BS that they say that they want immigrants to do. And now they're trying to create a path for them to stay here legally, and they're no. So what does it show you? It's bullshit. It's all just hate in their heart for our people, all right?
It sounds like the Trail of Tears.
It sure does. It sure
right?
does.
That's
yep.
exactly
yep.
what they did.
Relocate
they
them
say,
at all costs.
Go.
Relocate them at
We're
all costs.
We're here now.
Right. And on the right, so I read that. I'm hopeful the base will rise up, Rep. Steve King told CNN colleague. He and others argued the president should have just ended DACA without the six-month window for Congress to act, as he promised during the 2016 campaign. The reason he didn't, they say, is because many of the conservatives who helped get Trump elected, like former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon, are no longer in the West Wing. The voices of those who would be more open borders, pro-amnesty advocates, seem to be prevailing. Bannon may no longer be able to walk down the hall to talk to the president, but he is back at the helm of Breitbart, where he is already working to gin up like-minded conservatives on immigration. I don't agree with the DACA decision, Bannon said. Trust me, the guys on the far right, the guys on the conservative side, are not happy with this. We're not happy with no less, but putting them out. It's some same spirits that came here under Manifest Destiny and took and raped and robbed and stole. But Republican leaders may not need votes for those conservatives. They very well could find bipartisan agreement with Democrats to give legal status to those protected by DACA, frequently referred to as dreamers, and couple it with border security and pass it over objections of many on the right. It would be exactly what polls show the vast majority of voters want, allowing dreamers to stay in the U.S. A Pew Research poll from earlier this year found 72% want people who come to the U.S. illegally as children to remain and apply for legal status. Just 26% disagree with that, but inside the GOP, even a small percentage can be vocal and powerful. So they're saying that the numbers are that most people want them to stay, but amongst the ones that actually have any sway or power,
right,
which is a much smaller percentage, they don't want them, and that's how powerful they are.
So is Trump sending back his wife?
Yeah, I know, right? I saw something like that too. Bye, Melania. Right? That's why when it comes to Republican Party politics, legislation allowing DACA recipients to stay in America legally would split the GOP wide open again and leave some GOP lawmakers who vote for it open to primary challenges from those who call it amnesty. At the end of the day, they want their seats back.
Mm-hmm.
Same way that, like, the Pharisees were motivated. That's what they were so concerned about with Christ. So it's saying, like, if they do support it, even if they want to, this is why you can't get into politics. Some people think, I'm going to get into politics and change it. It doesn't. It eats you up and you become part of the machine. That's it. That's not how you help our people. You help our people by repenting one by one so that the true king could come back and do it old school style.
Right.
Because the only way this is going to topple is by fire, is by blood. Ain't nobody going to step down. Nobody's going to – Christ ain't going to come on the scene even with all that power and say, hey, okay, so I'm here now, so you have to step down. It ain't going to happen that way. It can't. That's why he ain't even going to talk. He coming with the fire. All right? Give me Isaiah 66 so you can understand.
Bring that out.
He's going to plead with them, all right? Because some people say he's going to plead with them, but they don't understand what the pleading is.
And then I'll get the priests up in the New Testament.
Yeah, because they think
for those doubters.
Because they think the pleading means, please let my people go.
Now that you see me.
Now that you see me.
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Yeah, right? Hey, you did that pose good. I think it's 15.
Uh-huh. The book of Isaiah 66, verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury.
So it says he's going to come with chariots and with fire like a whirlwind. Mm. That means he ain't walking in nice. He's coming on the scene ready to roll. Like, you ever seen some of them battle scenes where the cavalry come in and they come in and they start riding around and then they split and they surround the whole army and they come in. That thing is bad, boy. You're like, yes! Yes!
Coming in.
It's like
coming in hot.
It's like Game of Thrones, man. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones. Like, I don't know if it was season, I don't know, one of the later seasons, man. And he's fighting to get his home back in the north. And he's losing, bro. They're getting crushed. They put on a good fight, but they're getting crushed. And then the Knights of the Vale come in. And they come in, and their horses come, and they just surround the scrum of people that are left, bro, and just cut through them. Just cut through them, like, boom, boom. The horses just boom, boom. Bro, you ain't standing up against one horse.
Right.
And, like, it wasn't even swords. Like, the swords was coming in at the after effect. You getting run over first. And the sword, bro, it's like the horses had, like, armor on them and everything, bro. Your horses weigh, like, 800 to like 1,200 pounds. I mean, depending on how big it is. Ew, some of y'all can't take a 200-pound brother. You got a horse just barreling at you, right? I like to create a visual, bro, because it gets me excited, bro, because that's how Christ is gonna come. Be like, yes, yes. Anyway, go ahead.
For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury.
To render his anger. I thought God was love. They said the Lord is going to come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger. Go ahead.
With fury.
With fury. Because people think anger and fury are synonymous. No, fury is the action of anger. It's the manifestation of the anger. So all that, remember, it said he's slow to anger, right? But what happens when you hold on to anger and you can't vent it out? You angry brothers. Captain A, Officer Mariah, you know what that's like. All right, you're angry, bro.
It turns into fury.
It turns into fury, bro. Like
blindness,
like, bro. Like your stomach's on fire, bro. Like you're just.
It does. It's like you said, blindness.
So imagine. Imagine millennia. Millennia means thousands. Okay, millennia.
Thank you.
Of anger, built up. Yeah, some of y'all can't. I just got to give that brother a piece of my mind. Like 5 minutes, you can't. Mm-hmm. Let something go. So the Lord, with all his power and fury. Bro, because that's the other thing. It's not like, you know, you got some brothers that got anger problems and they like the softest brothers. And you're like, bro, like you really not the brother that should be angry. Because like, if not for the scriptures, you would get smacked. Like, and you wouldn't even do anything. Like you would get smacked and look at me like with your mouth open. Like not realizing that you did anything. We know some brothers like that. That they shouldn't have anger spirits. Like, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got the anger spirit, but you can't, there's no fury with it.
That's the kind of thing you look at them like.
Right. You're like, really? Yo. So it's like anger without the ability to unleash fury. All right? Because there's some brothers like that. There's one in particular I'm thinking of that. He got an anger problem, but, like, bro, like, you serious? Like,
Like, really,
bro?
And do a push-up. Just one. Correctly. One.
Read the anger part again.
On your knees.
To render his anger with fury.
With fury. To render his anger with fury. Go ahead.
And his rebuke with flames of fire.
And his rebuke with flames of fire. Read on.
For by fire and by his sword.
For by fire and by his sword will he what?
Will the Lord plead with all flesh.
Will the Lord plead with all flesh. That's what the pleading is. I'm telling you, some of you take these words and you isolate them. And you, it's like you got the visual of pleading means like he's going to be begging. All right, because there's another scripture that says he will plead with them. All right, where he says he'll take them out to the valley of Jehoshaphat and he'll plead with them there.
Joel too.
Right, and they think that that means he's going to be there to entreat them and say, okay, I'm here now, guys.
Right.
And they think it's going to be that guy. Sees a bowl with the fingers up. And
no
the,
negotiations
and
are going to be taking place.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, there's nothing. There's no treaty to sign. There's no warning to be given. There's no rules of warfare.
No sanctions.
Except the rules that he makes. There's no sanctions.
Right.
There shall be no quarter. Kill them all. And that's what's going to go down. That's how he is going to plead.
Got the precept for the... For the not my Jesus's.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Give them to the not my Jesus's.
2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Vengeance on them. He's not going to come here to try to entreat anybody. You don't need to be persuaded when you got the power and all authority to put them in subjection. Did they do that to us? Did they come and say, hey, you know, let's broker a deal with you and things like that? No.
Hey, you know what? You know what? God is love because this is the grace period. They didn't give us a grace period. They came and broke
Us. They actually got a time of ruling. But, you know, and that's a byproduct of him actually because he had to do a number on us so that we could turn back.
Right.
So they basically had to benefit of for it for a little while.
They're being used.
They're being used.
So for those of you out there that say, no, grace. No, yeah, we understand grace fully, but we also understand that it's a supposition of time. And that when it's over, that it's going to be flaming fire taking vengeance on those that know not God.
Right. You know, I want to bring out the point that when we were talking on the group meet the other day so that our people can understand, because they hear us talk about all this stuff. And like, you know, if you tuned in for snapshots of the show, you would just think, damn, there's some angry brothers, man. They're so mean. Right. I mean, we back it up with scriptures. So our indignation is the scriptures indignation. All right. What do you got here? Oh, so Rock 39, right? Okay. Yeah. I'll bring that out in a moment. Actually, let's bring this first and then I'll bring it out because we got like 12 minutes left. So, so get Sirach 39 and 28. Yeah, start at 28. Go ahead. Let me get mine so I can read along with you. Thank you, brother, for reminding me. And the timing worked out good because we were talking about this at the beginning before the show. So you know, because the title of the show, right, is "The Lord Have His Way," and we're talking about all the different things that are going on. Go ahead, read
the book of Sirach, chapter 39, verse 28. There be spirits that are created for vengeance.
There are spirits that the Lord has created that are for vengeance. Go ahead.
Which in their fury lay on sore strokes.
Fury, there it goes, which is the action of the anger. That's the way you act it out. Mm-hmm. Which in their fury lay on sore strokes. Go ahead.
In the time of destruction, they pour out their force.
Category 5 hurricanes, 8.1 earthquakes, right. Wildfires burning for 200,000 miles, spirits getting on people so that they can freaking create bombs and nukes and missiles to destroy. Go ahead.
And appease the wrath of him that made them.
This is how the Lord vents his anger. All right. This is how he's able to be long suffering. Every now and then, just like you saw with Noah and the flood. All right. That was the penultimate. He had to just basically say, hey, man, I got to do this big wipe. I got to wipe it clean.
Right.
All right. With the exception of, you know, the date here, you know, it's like he had a big chalkboard. And he said, all right, I'm going to leave the date here, but I got to wipe all this else out of the way and write over. OK, so it says that there be spirits that are created for vengeance. So it's telling you what? That these hurricanes, there's spirits in them. They have names. They named them. They make them personal. They don't just say, oh, we have storm 1, 2, 3. They could just count them. This is storm 6. They named them. What do you, where do you think that thought comes from? That's the Lord that puts that on there. So Irma is a spirit. Spirit of vengeance. Harvey was a spirit. It's a spirit of vengeance. Jose Cathy is a spirit. It's a spirit of vengeance. All right?
Yeah, they give it personality.
These earthquakes, they record them in numbers. So it's telling you, hey, this was the level of power. It's like a Marvel comic when they have like the power levels and stuff. This earthquake was an 8.1, you know? I mean, they tell you it's for them to track him, but he's telling you here, he created these for vengeance, and in their fury, they lay on sore strokes. In the time of destruction, because that's what these are, they call them destructive forces, all right? They pour out their force, and it's all to appease the wrath of him that made them. These are his instruments. Read.
Fire and hail and famine and death. All these were created for vengeance.
All these things were created for vengeance. So we're not religious fanaticals when we say, oh, God is in the storm and the Lord is passing judgment. It's true. The Lord is passing judgment. The Bible tells you that. Read.
Teeth of wild beasts and scorpions, serpents of the and the sword, punishing the wicked to destruction.
You hear things about people got mauled, they died, they got overrun with, you got scorpions and snakes and all this other stuff. What? And the sword, punishing the wicked to destruction. So you have all these, sometimes he uses the people, like I said, you got the missiles, you have the warfare that's going on, all right? And it's spirits of vengeance. Go ahead.
They shall rejoice in his commandment.
These spirits rejoice in his commandment.
And they shall be ready upon earth.
A storm is meant only for that. That's its purpose. An earthquake is meant only for that. That's its purpose. They rejoice when the Lord says, unleash. Do what you were made for. When you have your purpose and you're fulfilling your purpose, you are joyful in that. And you are singular in that. This is why you have to be singular-minded on one accord with everything. There's levels to that. So it's telling you these spirits that he created for vengeance, they rejoice in his commandment, and they shall be ready upon the earth. That means he has more, and they're lying in wait. Go ahead.
Right. When need is.
When need is. When he says, hey, it's time for me to clean some things up and release some anger. Okay? Go ahead.
And when their time is come, they shall not transgress his word.
And when his time shall come, they shall not transgress his word. They're going to do what they're going to do. They ain't nothing that's going to be able to stop them. That's why, despite man's advances in technology and all this other stuff, they can do nothing. Despite the better building materials and everything like that, nothing can stand against the spirits and the instruments that the Lord has put forth when he wants to have his way. Bro, that's heavy stuff, man. That's heavy. That's flames, bro. That's flames.
They think that because they can track it, that they're in control of something.
No, they ain't in control of nothing, bro. They ain't in control of nothing.
Because how is it that it was heading towards Puerto Rico and then it just inched a little bit north?
Yeah, he said, hey, I got to give him a little bit of space. Hey, and I'm not saying, you got to understand, man, just think of what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And when the Lord was being entreated to not destroy the city, right? He was like, oh, what if there's like 10 faithful? What if there's like one?
Right.
And he goes to show you that for one, he'll spare all.
Right, right. That's what you get out of that, right?
So I'm not saying, again, we're still proving brothers and sisters that are out there in Puerto Rico. Maybe there's spirits there. There's spirits that have regenerated there that have yet to wake up. But he spared them for a reason. And the judgment wasn't for there. Mm-hmm. All right? Just like we said about our congregants in Houston, right? No loss of life, all praises, only one loss of property. He spared them for a reason. And you can see even within all that fury, that's how much control those spirits have by his commandment. Hey, I need you to overspread this whole state right here, this whole landmass. But just make sure that these people don't die.
Right.
Oh, just let's prove some more that he controls everything. That
wait,
he,
but before, oh, you, before you get to that, I want to get to this point because we'll talk about this on the group. Give me Judah 5, and let's start at 20. Because the point that I was trying to make, but when you reminded me about Sirach, which is great that you brought it out, is that our whole purpose of doing these shows and teaching is to bring you back to repentance. All right, repentance is our revolution. That is the only power that we have in our hand in this present time is repentance, returning to God's laws in the faith of Christ as Israelite men, women, and children. All right. Not as whatever, not as a Puerto Rican, not as a black man. All right. Repentance, because this is how you get the Lord is for you. This is how their hand is stayed against you. You want the solution to all our people's problems? What do? Listen, you have all these movements. You have all these people that try to come together and change something and do something, and it fails because it lacks one fundamental ingredient. All right. And that's the God's laws. All right. Read
the book of Judith, chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, therefore, my Lord and Governor, if there be any error in this people, and they sin against their God, let us consider that this shall be their ruin.
All right, the other nations knew this, okay? They knew that if there be any error in our people, that should be our ruin. This is why we're in the conditions that we are. It's Deuteronomy 28. Hey, it's deep basics in the Bible, okay? Go ahead.
And let us go up, and we shall overcome them.
And this is why this has been their strategy in Psalms 83, in Psalms 2. To be confederate against us so that they can go ahead and cut us off from being a people and cut us off from God's laws so that we can be susceptible to all things, not just by their hand, but when the Lord has his way in storms and earthquakes and things like that. Go ahead.
But if there be no iniquity in their nation,
if there be no sin in the nation of Israel, go ahead.
Let my Lord now pass by.
He's saying, hey, you better leave them be. Go ahead.
Lest their Lord defend them.
Go ahead.
And their God before them. And we become a reproach before all the world.
Hey, that's a summary of everything that's going to happen to them. Because he knows that if, as we return to this, we're calling upon that Isaiah 66 to come and happen. That he's going to come with his fury, with the chariots and the whirlwind, with fire and with his sword to plead and cut them off and destroy them. And then they're going to become a reproach. And then Isaiah 14, 1 and 2 can come into fruition. All right? You don't understand. There is power in something as simple as observing the Sabbath day. Mm-hmm. There's power in something as simple as a man grow your beards. There's power in listening to the Lord's dress code and his dietary laws. There's power in those things. And it's not an easy thing because you're going to be chastised and hated of the whole world and the people closest to you for doing that. But it has to be done. It has to be done. And there'll be a portion that's going to do it regardless of whether you will or not. All right? It's going to happen regardless. It's a fixed fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to head that way no matter what. Go ahead, bro.
No, and there's power also in just not hating your brother and sister. Okay, because if you don't hate your brother and sister, man, that's unity right there. And that's strength in numbers. All right, so that's something that we overlook a lot of times. But just the simple hate of one another, okay, diminishes because our strength is in unity.
Right, right. We have to get there together. We're judged alone, but we have to get there as a nation.
Right.
144,000 have to be sealed before these wonderful, magnificent events that we've read about will happen. But we're going to stand alone that day to be judged for every idle word and for everything we've done. Any other thoughts? We got a little under 3 minutes.
Like you said, the scripture says that the Most High could raise up rocks to be Israelites. All right. So the movement's going to move on with or without any of us. All right. No one's above this. But understanding the time and the seasons and understanding the prophecies, we know that time is short. I mean, we live in hell right now, so why would you want to have everlasting fire and contempt, all right? So, you know, our prayer is that all Israel be saved, but we know that's not going to be. But for those that are listening, we pray that you hearken to the word of the Most High, come back, repent, keep the laws, because that's the true revolution.
Right, right. That's the revolution. You want to be revolutionaries? You like movies like The Patriot,
right?
Braveheart, okay? You want to rise up? Rise up by keeping God's laws. All right. Keep the laws of the land. All right. Just like Romans 13 says. And guess what? And by doing that, you're keeping God's laws.
Right.
You keep them because God tells you do that, because that's his commandment. He sets up the base man. He sets up the powers that be. And the powers that be are not a terror to good works. All right. And just like we read in Sirach 39, them spirits of vengeance, they will pass over you. We've witnessed it. We witnessed it with our brethren in Puerto Rico. We witnessed it with our brethren in Houston. And I pray that the Lord be merciful for our brethren that's going to be overhead in over here in Florida, because we got large congregations in Florida as well. And I pray that the Lord be with you. I think elements of it is whipping up now. I think tonight and tomorrow is like the true test of what's going to go down with y'all. Our prayers and thoughts are with you. All right. May the Most High be merciful. Okay. And his will be done. All right. He's going to have his way regardless. All right. What's the same Romans 9? Can the thing formed say to its maker, why did thou form me thus?
Right.
You know, you can't. Go ahead, make sure you share the show. It's going to upload into a podcast, all right? And by all means, call in, all right? I know we tell people come, listen live. Spread the word. We'd love to get more live listenership, but we do our best to spread it and share it, you know, on the podcast and on our links. I know some people want us to get on YouTube and different things like that. I might consider doing Facebook Live. I was thinking about that for our page. But I just don't want to take away from people visiting the link and the radio portion of it, because that's right. What's really going to give the juice to spread it. So, all right. So Lord's will be on next week. We also have the Spanish show on Monday. And we have another English show on Wednesday. So tune in. All right. This is the Native Latin and Black Lords History Show. And we're signing off. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.